Today, on the Lord's Day edition of Renewing Your Mind.
If all of these miseries and tragedies and griefs and sufferings and bad things that we experience are taking place, if ultimately God is using these things to bring them about for good, then ultimately it is good that they have happened to us.
Well, if you're walking through a tragedy or a difficult time in your life, those words can be difficult to hear. You may be asking, how could this situation ever be considered a good thing? We welcome you to the Sunday edition of Renewing Your Mind. I'm Lee Webb, and we are pleased to bring you one of Dr. R.C. Sproul's most requested messages. And if you are facing distress today, I think you'll discover this message will be a balm for your soul. It's titled, If God is Good, Why Do I Suffer?
I think the first prayer that I ever learned as a child was the simple table grace that my grandmother taught me, and I think every child in America learns it at one time or another, and it goes like this: God is great, God is good, and we thank Him for this food. I don't know who first composed that prayer, but I think the prayer somehow was supposed to rhyme. And when my grandmother said it, it did rhyme. She said, God is great, God is good, and we thank Him for this food. And I always thought that was strange. And she called that thing that was on top of our house the roof. And that's just a different generation. But like many children, I memorized that table grace and would say it by rote without any deep meaning or appreciation for the words I was expressing. And I want us to think this through a little bit and ask the question together, what do we mean when we say that God is good? In what sense can it be said of God that He is good? I think we know that the Scriptures teach that God is the source, the fountainhead of all goodness, and that there is an inseparable bond and relationship between our understanding of goodness and our understanding of God. Now, again, in theology, one of the great debates historically has been, how does God relate to the concept of the good? Is there some kind of standard for goodness that is independent from God? Is there a law, for example, that defines goodness that is over God and by which God is judged? Technically, we ask in theology, is God sub lego? Is God under law? Is there some cosmic law of goodness that even God is required to obey? Or is God outside of law, apart from law? Is He, again, as the theologians say, ex lex, not ex lax, ex lex, outside of the law? Well, both ideas, that God is under some independent standard that exists outside of Him, or that God is a maverick to the law, accountable to nothing, sort of free to act in any arbitrary, whimsical, capricious way that He so pleases. Both of those concepts have been categorically rejected by Orthodox Christianity. And the biblical concept is this, that there is a law of goodness that even God must obey, and by which God Himself is judged. And that goodness, however, is not something apart from Him, but the ultimate norm for goodness, the standard of goodness itself, is the eternal character of God Himself. When we say that God is a law unto Himself, we mean that God always acts and behaves according to His nature, according to His own character. And that character is altogether holy. That character is altogether righteous. One more technical distinction, then I'm going to make it simple. In theology, we distinguish between the justitia interna and the justitia externa of God. That is, the internal righteousness of God and the external righteousness of God. That distinction, in simple terms, simply means this: that what God does externally is always perfectly consistent with what He is internally. His behavior is pure because His being is pure. There is a consistency between the fruit and the tree. But what I'm about to get into now, I think you may find shocking, and I'll ask you to put yourself on shockproof control for a few moments until I finish this, lest you become so shocked with what I'm about to say that you won't even hear the explanation of it. Suppose, in your wildest imagination, in your dreams, that Jesus walked in here right now and came up to you and looked you in the eye and said, I'm going to make a promise to you that for the rest of your days in this world, I'm not going to allow anything bad to happen to you. That all that's going to happen to you for the rest of your days will be good. How would you feel about that? Now here comes the shock. Are you ready? We don't need to have Jesus walk in the room and say to us that the only thing that is ever going to happen to you for the rest of your life are good things, because He's already said it. Let me say it again. We don't have to fantasize about Jesus walking in here and saying to you personally, I have to qualify it, if you're a Christian. We don't have to fantasize God coming here and saying to you who are a believer, who are a Christian, that nothing bad will ever happen to you the rest of your life on this planet because He's already said it. You say, are you out of your mind, R.C. Sproul? Are you crazy? In like manner, God has already said in so many words to the unbeliever, nothing that ever happens to you will be good. Everything that happens to you will be a tragedy. That shocking? Let me explain it. I know it's shocking. And you know that the Bible says, flee from people who have the audacity to call good evil or evil good. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make a distinction here that the Bible makes between what I'm going to call the proximate and the ultimate. The proximate is that which is here in this proximity. It is close at hand. It is near. It is part of our experience. I'm referring to the human level of things, the earthly level, the horizontal plane in which we live every day. On that plane, on the proximate plane of human existence, we deal with bad things every day. Sin is bad. Pain is bad. Suffering is bad. The death of a loved one is tragic to us. And the Bible doesn't try to sugarcoat that. And the Bible doesn't try to say that evil is simply an illusion. And you have to pretend that it doesn't exist. No. It strongly affirms the stark, naked reality of pain and suffering, affliction and grief and tribulation. And the Bible says, in the world, you will have tribulation. But a verse in Scripture that has been voted the most popular verse in the New Testament among Christians is Romans 8:28. What does Romans 8:28 say? Let me read it for you briefly. And we know, do we? That's apostolic optimism. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We all know that verse, don't we? All things work together for good for those who love the Lord and who are called according to His purpose. You memorized that years ago, right? Well, at first blush, that seems to say to us, okay, there are all kinds of things in the proximate realm that happen to us that are bad. But God stands over and above that proximate realm. God is on the vertical plane, transcending this horizontal veil of tears in which we live. And He has the power to take every bad thing that happens to you and make it contribute ultimately to your good, doesn't He? Isn't that what that verse is saying? Well, think about it for a minute. If ultimately all of these proximate miseries and tragedies and griefs and sufferings and bad things that we experience are taking place, if ultimately God is using these things to bring them about for good, then QED, ladies and gentlemen, ultimately, it is good that they have happened to us. Do you see that? Ultimately, it is good that they happen to us. The Heavenly Father never allows anything to happen to you that is not for your ultimate good. If we could believe that, we could face anything. I wrote a book on suffering called Surprised by Suffering. I chose that title on purpose. Because in this day and age, there's a brand of Christianity that I believe is a serious distortion of biblical Christianity that goes about the world teaching people that God only wills health and prosperity for people. And that all of the sorrow and the pain and the grief and death and all of that is a result of the devil's work among us. As if the devil had the power ultimately to frustrate the sovereign authority of God. I listened to a talk show one day where the minister on television was interviewing a couple that had gone through a serious tragedy. Their child had been killed or something, and they were trying to be heroic in their Christian testimony and say, even though, you know, it's like Job, though he slays me, yet will I trust him. And they were going through all these things, and they said they still trust God in spite of this dreadful calamity that had befallen them. And the pastor was trying to comfort them, and he said, we know that God doesn't have anything to do with death. That God has nothing to do with suffering. That's basically the idea that Rabbi Kushner is saying. That Kushner is saying, God's not responsible for the pain and the sorrow and the affliction and suffering and death in this world. He'd like to be able to help out, but the universe is structured in such a way as the deity's hands are tied. He's merely a grieving spectator of the whole mess. But as I watched that program and I listened to that pastor say, God has nothing whatsoever to do with death, I wanted to scream. God has everything to do with death. Now, I understand, friends, that the pastor was trying to bring comfort. He didn't want the people to be blaming God for the sin, for the sorrow, for the grief, for the disease and suffering and death. And so they were trying to absolve God for any blame so that we would think well of God and bringing comfort. But if the person thought that through, they would realize that that's like an empty cloud. That a God who has nothing whatsoever to do with death is no comfort whatsoever to me. The message of the Bible is, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. God majors in suffering. He redeems the world through suffering. The pathway of our Lord is the Via Dolorosa, the road of grief. It is through suffering that our redemption is accomplished, beloved. God majors in suffering. And to say that he has nothing to do with it is to take all hope away from us. I wrote a book entitled Surprised by Suffering, as I said, and I used that title because people have come to believe this idea that God has nothing to do with suffering. And so when Christians experience grief, when the doctor tells the Christian that they have terminal cancer, when the policeman comes to the door of your home in the middle of the night and tells you that your child has just been killed in a traffic accident, that's suffering. And we're shocked. And we're surprised. This shouldn't be happening to me. I'm a Christian. But what does the Bible say? Think it not strange when you are visited with manifold afflictions. The Bible never promises that Christians will not suffer. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just read it once, you'll see that the Bible promises that we will suffer. But with that promise is the promise of God's triumph in our suffering, God's triumph over our suffering, God's triumph through our suffering, God working over and above. This ultimate should be reversed and put up here. And control over the proximate so that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. In that book, Surprised by Suffering, I have a chapter that I've had, I don't know how many radio interviews about this chapter. Everybody that wants to ask me about this book, ask me about this chapter. And the chapter is entitled, I think the title, the theme of the chapter is Suffering as a vocation. As a vocation. You know, when I took my vocational counseling examination and my multiple choice career option survey, suffering wasn't one of the things that I checked. What do you mean, suffering as a vocation? What I mean is this, that in everybody's life, at some point, the call of God, and that's what a vocation is, a call. The call of God on your life is to suffer. Bob Greasy's in the Hall of Fame, standing quarterback, Super Bowl champion, Miami Dolphins. His wife endured the lingering death from cancer in which she suffered for 10 years as a Christian. I was in their home towards the end of that experience. And I sat with Judy Greasy and held her hands as she wept, and she said to me, R.C., I can't take any more. just can't. Where's God? What could I say to her? You know, God works all things together. You know, be of good cheer. No. I just said, Judy, I don't know what to say. 3 days later, she died. And on that day, she was cured of her cancer. As she went to be with the Lord. I don't know what God's purpose was in that. But it was holy. And I know if the doctor tells me that I'm going to have to spend several years in agony and in torture, I'm not looking forward to that. I don't want to ever hear that. I hope that I can die in my sleep. I hope that I can be spared so much of the pain and the anguish that is a normal lot of the human race. But the last thing that I ever want to hear, ladies and gentlemen, if I am stricken with a dreadful disease, is that my suffering is for nothing. That it happens by chance. That I'm just an unfortunate accident victim. I know if I ever have to face that, that the only way I'll be able to get through it is to go to God and say, God, I don't know why you have visited me with this. But if this is your call on my life, then I'll be able to survive it. I'll be able to endure it. Because if I know that it is God's purpose for me to do it, then I'll know that the reason for it, beloved, is altogether good. Now, I said in passing that every tragedy for the Christian is ultimately a blessing. That doesn't deny the reality of the tragedy at this level. But ultimately, every tragedy in your life is a blessing. And every blessing that the pagan receives from the hand of God, for which that pagan does not respond in gratitude and repentance before God, increases his guilt before God. Every good and perfect gift that God gives to an unbeliever that unbeliever refuses to praise God for becomes an occasion for judgment ultimately. So that ultimately all of those blessings are tragedies for the one who does not repent. But again, for the one who loves God, for the one who has a vocation, for the one who is called according to his purpose, everything works together for good. For will not the judge of all of the earth do what is right?
In the face of difficulty, it can be a struggle to find God's perspective. As believers, though, we know that He has our good in mind. It still hurts. There's no denying that. But we can find comfort in knowing that He's working all things for our good and for His glory. I hope Dr. Sproul's message today has brought peace to you, and I think you can see why it's one of his most requested messages. Each Sunday here on Renewing Your Mind, we're airing a message from R.C.'s Classic Collection. It contains 10 milepost messages from his ministries. It includes the message we heard today, plus If There Is a God, Why Are There Atheists?, The Goal of Christian Living, and Salvation Guaranteed. These messages encapsulate what Dr. Sproul's ministry was all about. And we'd like to send you the entire series on 10 audio CDs. Request it today with your donation of any amount when you go to renewingyourmind.org. This series is an excellent introduction to this program and to Ligonier Ministries. If you're thinking of someone who could benefit from this teaching ministry, request a copy for them as well. We're not in the office on this Lord's Day, but you are welcome to give your gift and make your request when you go to renewingyourmind.org. And before we go today, let me remind you of a wonderful resource that's available to you 24 hours a day, right there in your pocket or purse. RefNet is our 24-hour internet radio station. It provides faithful teaching, preaching, Christian music, news, and more. When you download the free RefNet app, you can catch a sermon or a Renewing Your Mind program anytime. Also listen for free when you go to refnet.fm. Next week, we'll continue the classic collection with Dr. Sproul's message, The Sacrifice of Faith. We'll look at the incredible test of faith given to Abraham when God asked him to sacrifice his son Isaac. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday here for Renewing Your Mind.